This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman and you'll get a $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com. Welcome back to part two of today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. And before we get to your questions, I want to just, you know, on the theme of eggs and health, Here's a headline from Time Magazine. I didn't even know there's still such a thing. Newsweek went out, but Time Magazine is still kind of like somewhere out there. The oldest person in the world attributes her long life to eating eggs. And what other factor do you think she attributes her long life to? A lifestyle factor.
A lifestyle exercise.
Okay. Nope.
Not smoking, not drinking.
Nope.
I don't know.
Good guesses. The oldest person in the world attributes her long life to eating eggs and being single.
Butter?
Being single. Being single. Ask the oldest person.
Wow.
Yeah. Her name is Emma Moreno. She's 116. She was born in the 19th century. She's the only person left in the world who has touched three centuries, the 19th century, the 20th century, and now the 21st. She says, in a 2015 interview with the New York Times, that's pretty good. She's still giving interviews. She shared that she attributes her long life to eating three raw eggs a day.
Gee,
I don't think I'd last a day with a raw, especially in America.
Yeah.
But I guess she has these farm fresh eggs that come from chickens where there's not a lot of potential for salmonella and so on.
Yeah.
But industrial chickens? All right.
I worry about raw egg whites, though. The avidin is going to bind up biotin. Okay, go on.
Evidently. It's three raw eggs a day. Now, she has, however, she's moderated that. She's since gone down to two eggs a day. Since in 2015, after reaching 115, she said, I think I'm going to chill on the three eggs a day. But since she was in her teens, she ate three raw eggs a day upon a doctor's recommendation for her anemia. She also largely credits her impressive lifespan with being single. She was last married in 1938. She separated after an unhappy marriage in 1938. She never remarried. She says, quote,
well,
I didn't...
Well, you know what?
If
you're unhappy, it's best not to be unhappy, otherwise she would not have lived as long.
There you go. She says, quote,
she stayed in a bad marriage.
I didn't want to be dominated by anyone. So that's the secret. But anyway.
Especially that generation.
So there you have it. Proof positive that eggs don't kill you.
Eggs don't kill. Exactly. Wow. Okay. We've got an email from Lynn. Lynn writes, I know that green tea has beneficial properties, but what is the best or better type of green tea? I'm confused by sencha, matcha, and all the other varieties. Can you shed some light? Well, there are many different varieties. The sencha variety, the Japanese, which is it's prepared by using the whole tea leaves in hot water, and the matcha is actually, it's a finely ground powder of a specially grown and processed green tea. From anything I've read about these two varieties, they're all good. Now, the sencha, it's the most popular tea in Japan, and it represents about 80% of the tea that's produced in Japan. But in Chinese and Japanese, the Chinese and Japanese both enjoy matcha tea, so that tends to be more popular in tea ceremonies and all of that. The matcha is also used to flavor and dye foods such as soba noodles, green tea ice cream, some Japanese confectionery, things of that nature. So I would say they're all good. I think the most important thing is to source it well, make sure it's organic, you know, the least amount of contaminants, all of that other stuff, you know.
Yeah, so there's this debate about whether to get white tea or green tea.
White tea isn't fermented at all.
Yes, it's less processed.
It's said to capture most of the catechins than any fermented teas, such as the green and then the black.
Right.
But I don't know why white tea isn't more popular.
It's more expensive. It's a little harder to get because it can only be hand-picked during a few days of early spring.
Okay.
And so it's more delicate and, you know, it can go bad because it's not as processed. But I think because white and green teas are kind of minimally processed, they still retain most of their beneficial antioxidants, like the catechins, you know, epigallocatechin gallate or EGCG, which is the business end of the green tea for the most part. So, you know, I think it's a matter, I have to say it's a matter of taste. I am not the biggest fan of green tea taste-wise. I prefer my my decaf, my Swiss water processed decaf, which it turns out is also good for you. A different set of polyphenols, but they're beneficial. And so I take EGCG capsules. I take one EGCG Ultra capsule twice daily. So I'm getting my EGCG, which is probably what I'm consuming is equivalent of like 10 or 12 cups of green tea in the capsules.
And, you know, not everybody can ingest 10 or 12 cups of green tea.
There is
some caffeine,
sure.
Adrenal stress, you know, insomnia.
Right.
So taking the EGCG supplement may be better.
Not to mention that EGCG supplements tend to have the vitamin K reduced or removed, and green tea is a source of vitamin K. So for those taking a blood thinner like warfarin, that's actually the only drug that seems to be affected. That is... could be problematic from a dietary standpoint.
Interesting. EGCG is also a very important antioxidant in preventing cancers. It's helpful in the treatment of leukemia, CLL. EGCG has also been shown to enhance metabolism, which is helpful for anybody trying to lose a few pounds.
Right. There's a bit of a thermogenic effect, which means that it helps with fat burning.
Yeah,
but that effect is kind of minimal, and I don't know if people will notice it very much. I just suggest it as an adjunct to dieting. But, you know, without the basics, I always say the basics. You got to do the basics. So I recently was approached by a very nice ad offer, you know, a sponsor who makes a product that contains a lot of these popular diet ingredients, you know, some of the things that were talked about on Dr. Oz. And it was going to be a nice contract, and it was going to help subsidize these podcasts. But I said, in good conscience, I can't pass this along to my listeners because I don't want to give them the message that you take a pill instead of doing the basics for weight loss. And, you know, I think these dietary supplements that promise weight loss are oversold for the most part. I mean,
totally.
I do like Capsiate Natura. I think there's some plausibility to that. It also seems to help curb insulin resistance. That's an extract of a capsaicinoid, which is like hot red pepper, but they take the sting out of it so you don't get break into a sweat. But it is, I think these things are, you know, just slow, maybe add a few single-digit percentages of metabolic advantage to you and do not dramatically influence weight loss.
Right. And, you know, people forget to read the fine print on so many of those TV ads on here's the magic bullet weight loss supplement is combined along with a reduced calorie diet and exercise. Nobody's reading that fine print, and that's really what it's about. If you just do the fine print, you're going to be better off anyway.
Well, damn it, I have been exercising, and I have been on a good diet, and I'm still fat. So I want to take that pill.
I want to take that pill. Right. Oh, yeah. Okay, Lynn, thank you very much for your question. Enjoy your varieties of green tea. Make sure they're clean and organic and all of that. And if you're having trouble sleeping at night, it could be that the caffeine may be bothering you. So either try not to drink it after noon or 2 o'clock or switch to decaf, a good mm-hmm. quality decaf.
Yep.
Or take EGCG, all the better.
Yep.
Okay. We've got a question from Amina, who just read an article about something that was discovered by accident that can help clear cholesterol and reverse heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the efficacy of something called cyclodextrin
right.
for reducing LDL cholesterol. And would you please comment on this? And cyclodextrin is used in products as an emulsifier mm-hmm. to stabilize flavors mm-hmm. in such things as mayonnaise and mm-hmm. things like that mm-hmm. and possibly salad dressings
right.
and the such. And it was entirely discovered by accident.
Right.
These two parents had twin daughters that had a rare genetic disease, Niemann-Pick type C disease. Long story short, they're lacking a cholesterol transporter,
mm-hmm.
which then causes the accumulation of cholesterol in organs and causing all kinds of neurodegenerative disorders and so forth. But that cyclodextrin may be helpful as a transporter, or because of its emulsifying
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
properties, can be helpful in the clearance
yep.
of accumulation of LDL,
right.
which is interesting.
Yeah, the problem with that is,
yeah.
By the way, cyclodextrin is it's also an ingredient in Febreze, you know, like a fabric softener.
Oh, my!
Yeah, so it is a chemical, and it's considered grass, I think, safe for consumption orally, but that's not going to
yeah,
help your cholesterol.
Generally
you can't
regard,
you,
yeah.
you can't take it orally. It has to be injected. So the problem is that it is so it's such a kind of a dissolver of things that in
yeah.
order to dissolve the cholesterol in the bad places, will it potentially harm the cholesterol that's an essential structure, say, in your brain or elsewhere, you
yeah.
know, in your nerves.
And your cell membranes where you
yeah.
need them.
So the,
right.
the question, I mean, they're doing some research done with animals, and I guess maybe they had some success in this orphan disease in a human case, but it's not yet ready for prime time. They think that mm-hmm. maybe in the future, after much research and its safety has been confirmed, they can come up with the right dose, that it might be an adjunct to, you know, some of our current strategies for heart disease reversal. So, but it's interesting because it's something that's been around for so long, and you know, just an example of sometimes we have to try rather than inventing new molecules, we can just sometimes go through our inventory of chemicals and things that we use for other purposes and apply them to new things, and we might come up with cures for heart disease, for AIDS, for cancer, just by exploring the properties of these familiar substances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Amina, thank you very much for your email.
Yep.
Okay. Let's see here. We've got an email from Pat. Hi, I listen to at least 2 hours a day of health podcasts while walking every day.
Wow.
Dr. Hoffman and now Layla weighs in has moved to the top of my list. Thank you very
Excellent.
Much, Pat.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
Yep.
Our question is about PQQ or pyroloquinoline quinone.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Pat is dealing with chronic Lyme disease and viral infections, which is curtailing her activities at age 60. She's of a normal weight, she follows the Whole30 diet, and exercises is tolerated every day. She took PQQ and was amazed at the improvement in her energy and focus at just 10 milligrams a day.
Great.
And after only 3 days, she skipped a day and felt even more weak than usual,
mm-hmm.
took it again and felt quite well within 12 hours. What are your thoughts? Can the body build a tolerance, down-regulate its own energy production when you use
right.
PQQ?
Okay, so it's really interesting because I'm looking at a couple of compounds, candidate compounds, for patients who suffer from mitochondrial problems. As we know, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. So theoretically,
yes.
Fatigue in some people or disease in some people is due to mitochondrial failure. When the mitochondria start to misfire, their energy production fails. This can result in problems anywhere in the body, brain problems, heart problems, overall energy problems, muscle weakness. And so we have in our arsenal some things that help the mitochondria, particularly coenzyme Q10 or ubiquinol. Carnitine may play a role in supporting the mitochondria. Now we have a new thing that I just did a podcast on, which is niacel or nicotinamide riboside. It turns out that PQQ is among these candidate substances, and I know a little less about it, although I will be doing, I do plan a podcast on that subject. It is something that's in the mitochondrial energy chain. It plays a role a little bit after nicotine adenine dinucleotide, or NAD, in that process of converting chemical energy into energy.
It almost sounds like a cousin to ubiquinol.
Yeah.
It sounds like a cousin to ubiquinone.
Yeah. Right. It has that sound because it's pyroloquinolone quinone, although I don't know what the chemical structure is in the relationship. But it's a popular supplement on the internet, and there's a bit of a buzz about it. But it's one of those things where the question is whether it's going to achieve critical mass. In other words, there's sometimes plausible things, like in the past we had something called Enada, which was popular, I think, maybe when you were working for Dr. Atkins, you know. And that was that was purported to deliver NAD, but it I think there was a lot of the response was a placebo effect. And now it's kind of gone into relative obscurity, and it's been replaced by nicotinamide riboside, which, again, we talked about in a podcast recently, and I'm going to, if you haven't already seen it, I've written an article about it for our newsletter, and it will appear shortly at drhoffman.com, or if it hasn't already. Next we'll tackle PQQ with a podcast sometime next month with Michael Murray. Michael Murray is... You've been a frequent guest and contributor on Intelligent Medicine. I consider him one of the real luminaries in this field. He's author of the Encyclopedia of Natural Medicine. And generally, when he gets onto something, it's not a fad. It's actually something that has a lot of plausibility. So,
looking forward to that.
So we'll talk about that.
Pat is asking, what other supplements would you endorse for energy?
Niacel, definitely. And the protocol for niacel right now, it comes in 75 milligram capsules, and I would take two twice daily for 2 weeks. That just about takes care of a bottle of it because it's 60 in a bottle, and give it a trial for 2 weeks and see if you don't get a burst of energy.
Right.
I've been using it, and I think I'm feeling more energetic during my workouts.
Dr. Hoffman, what about NT factor?
NT factor is clearly among those things that works on mitochondrial membranes and cell membranes. Yeah. So that's something that, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a blast from the past, but I think it's a tried and true product that supports energy production. And I've seen some patients really respond well to it. There's actually a study on patients with chronic fatigue syndrome. That's very promising. I think patients with fibromyalgia, post-Lyme disease could benefit from it. It's part of our armamentarium of things, you know. So what would you do for someone who's exhausted with post-Lyme syndrome? You might give them niacel, PQQ, ubiquinol at doses of, maybe 200 to 400 a day. Certainly
carnitine.
Adequate magnesium and carnitine. Magnesium itself is, you know, a simple way to rev the mitochondria, and then maybe a good, methylated B vitamin complex, because the B vitamins play critical roles in energy metabolism.
Yeah. Wow. Pat, we're so glad you're feeling better, and thank you so much for listening, and thank you for your questions.
I'd love to hear, audience experience with some of these supplements, because you are basically the testing ground for some of these new concepts. And, you know, some of them are a lot of hype, and we want to hear from you if you're disappointed, if you don't think they're up to snuff. But we also want to hear tips from you on how you might have turned around your particular challenging medical problem with a supplement that either we've talked about or a supplement that we may want to investigate here on Intelligent Medicine.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
All right.
I think we'll call it quits for today on that note. A reminder that we at drhoffman.com and at hoffmancenter.com maintain a very extensive dispensary of supplements such as the ones that we just talked about. We curate it for the highest quality supplements at the most reasonable prices for our patients, and we make them available to listeners. So check it out and thereby support your own health and also support the continuation of this information source, which is free to all. We love doing it, but there are expenses involved in producing these podcasts. And we'd love for you to help underwrite some of our efforts via patronizing our Hoffman Center store. So check it out and look for some of the products that we've mentioned here on Intelligent Medicine. Thanks, Layla, for joining us.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman. Thank you, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.